Hello all, this is JC3 from Is This Real? Do you want to start your own podcast? Then look no further than Buzzsprout.com. We here at Green Hour Media use Buzzsprout, and we love the team at Buzzsprout. They are all about helping you succeed. Buzzsprout gets your show listed in every major podcast platform. Follow the link in our show notes to let Buzzsprout know that we sent you. It gets you a $20 paid Amazon gift card if you sign up with a paid plan and helps support our show. Join us and over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout.com to get your message out to the world.
Live from the Keith Vincent Hill Studios in Paterson, New Jersey, Green Arrow Media presents Is This Real? Tonight's episode, the Centralia coal mine disasters. What is going on? Now our host, Joe.
Welcome, 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 everybody. Welcome to a fantastic episode of Is This Real? As you heard from Dad over there, this week's episode is about the Centralia coal mine disasters. Now, we don't know which one yet, but there's been a couple of them. But as usual,
more than one
in the booth with us this week. Dad, say hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Mr. West.
Oh, konbawa.
And Mr. Robloxon.
Hey, yo, yo, what's going on, everybody?
That's just a little teaser for Mr. Robloxon, what we have coming up in the future. On July 1st.
Oh, Robloxon.
But, so this week's episode is Centralia Coal Mines. Now, as we apparently learned right before the episode of recording.
Literally
20 minutes ago.
Oh, man.
All four of us were not on the same page.
Literally.
We had Eric going after, where was you? Illinois?
I was in Pennsylvania.
You were in Pennsylvania. You were where?
Illinois.
He was in Illinois. I think one of us also was talking about West Virginia or some shit like that. We were all over the place. Apparently, there's a lot of coal mine disasters, and apparently they're all taking place in a town called Centralia.
Or dealing with Centralia, the company.
We don't know there's a company just yet. Josh, stop foreshadowing things. Now,
there's a company.
You're welcome.
Now, where do we want to start off, gentlemen?
2 minutes and we're in the shitter.
We're not in the shitter. Calm down. Where do we want to start off, gentlemen? I believe we'll start off with the first one, and that was the Illinois one, right, Joshua?
I believe so, yes. I can start there for everybody.
Yes, yeah, start out off my fact man.
All right, so.
Great, Roblox on.
Thank you. So, back in March 25th, 1947, there was a Centralia coal mine disaster.
Shocking.
Yeah, really. Explosion at Centralia No. 5 coal mine, which is near Centralia, Illinois, ended up killing 111 miners.
God damn.
Woo!
Yes.
Adults or children.
Rest in peace.
It could be a mix of both. There was unconfirmed people poisoning, explosion, burning, all that type of stuff. It's a mixture, but altogether it was 111 miners, unfortunately. So due to that disaster, at the time, the president of the United Mine Workers, John L. Lewis, called a 2-week national memorial work stoppage on 400,000 soft coal miners. Now, a fact is that the year prior, the Interior Department issued a comprehensive and stringent federal mine code, which called for regulations governing explosions, machinery, and set new standards for ventilation as well as dust control in mining operations, which, oddly enough, the coal operators were actually in opposition of. So later, Lewis, the president, the entire time, Lewis, the president, had repeatedly campaigned to make coal mine safety a federal concern and had done so since the 1930s. Mr. Lewis claimed that the victims of the disaster were murdered because of the criminal negligence due to the lax enforcement of the mine code by the Secretary Julius A. Krug of the Department of the Interior.
Okay, so hold on. So basically he's saying that these people were murdered?
Yes, due to the criminal negligence. which could be so because if there's federal laws endorsed and no one's following them, they could be brought up on charges.
Was anyone brought up on charges for that?
Unfortunately, no.
Interesting.
Not that I saw of with at least this case, but I guess we can get to more because there is more connecting this.
As I pet my furry cat. Interesting.
Really?
Where's it at?
So as a fact that Lewis brought up, only 2 out of the 3,345 mines fully complied with the safety code at the time that was in place at the time. Sorry. Lewis then called for Krug's removal, which was rejected by the president, Harry Truman. And allegedly, the president, Harry Truman, was reported to have said that he regards the morning strike as a sham.
I'm so happy I'm not the only one who can't read.
I can. I'm just a little out of it at the moment. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. So Mr. Truman said that...
He regards the morning strike, which was the two-week National Memorial work stoppage. He referred to that as a sham.
And which one was that one?
Truman? This is Illinois. Yeah, Truman.
Yeah.
For Illinois.
Yeah, there was a president.
This is 1947? 45.
Yes.
So this is right after World War II.
Yeah. Okay. So because of that.
World War II.
I mean, it ended in 45.
Yeah, 44, 45. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Right after.
That's the president who couldn't stand, right, Truman?
No, that was Roosevelt.
This was the president of the company.
I'm saying Harry S. Truman was the president.
What? Of the company or of America? Which one are we on? See, we're still not on the same page, right?
We're still not on the same page.
And mind you, I'm the one that got lit before here. And all of y'all feeling it. That's how you know it's some good shit.
You're not allowed to talk anymore.
So are you talking about the president of the United States, who is Harry S. Truman? So you're saying that national strike was a sham.
I could be mixing it, but I thought it was the Department of Interior.
Block, look
the
it
president
up.
President of the Department of Interior. That's what I looked up. That's what I had. I realized there was another one.
Wait. Let's see when Harry Truman was president. Dad, do you know when Harry Truman was president?
Yeah, Harry Truman was president in 1944,
45. So it has to be. It's the same president.
Oh, well, I might have got my information a little mixed up.
Damn you, Joshua.
He took over for Roosevelt after Roosevelt died.
Damn it, Joshua.
First of all, there's the president of the United Mine Workers, which is John L. Lewis. And then there's also the Interior Department, which is what I was talking about.
He was interior decorator.
The Interior Department had a... Where was it? I just had it. Oh, my God. I can't talk right
now. Wow.
Dead air.
Yep, dead air.
It's not that dead. It was the Secretary Julius A. Krug. That department is what I saw that there was
this
a president.
This is the shit, already?
Well, you got to understand something. Now, you're talking about 1945, 47, when this thing took place. There were, like, nowadays, you're going to have to, you know, these mines are all regulated. People are going to go in them. You know, they have to follow the rules. They're not even going to open them up if these rules aren't followed. Now, back in the day, the only way to determine if there was a gas down there, they would send a canary, which was the most vulnerable creature we had to gas.
That's fucked up.
So, and much to the happiness of the canaries later on, we went to different, you know, machines that could detect gas and pockets of whatever. The Centralia mine disaster in 47 exploded because of coal dust, which was basically undetected at the time. There was no safety regulations for that. So what they did was, out of, what do you say, 148 or whatever mines?
Yeah.
Okay.
3,000 something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only two of the mines from the 3,345 at the time.
They didn't have, first of all, they didn't have computers to check this stuff. You didn't have the agents that were going to run around to all this, you know, delaying coal mines, because it would just be not, you know, the country would have came to a standstill. So basically what happened was, yeah, they did pass these rules and these regulations and everything. But they knew they were going to go nowhere because there's no way to enforce them. You can't. And they're just going to continue what they're doing. And then, you know, in that random situation where somebody might, you know, they might send an agent to some far off coal mine somewhere, and then we'll have to deal with it at the time. But like now, you got every, you know, you can't go into a mine without. It's going to be supervised. It's going to be, you know.
Well, that was also before they had, they had
technology.
Not technology. They had unions, right?
Who?
Is that before they had unions for coal miners and shit like that? Or
you know, I don't know that.
You're talking like industrial age type shit.
Yeah, I think that what happened was these guys, they're born into this stuff, and they know that, you know, you get to get a certain age, you're going to starve, or you're going to work in a coal mine. So they have no choice. They're going to go in that coal mine. And they knew the risks going in there. But the risks to them were it's bread on the table for my family or it's not. You know, so as men did back then, yeah, for generations, they took that risk and they went into these even though there was no safety. And then they came along and passed the safety, but it took years for them to actually get it to the point where these mines were going to be profitable, but they were also going to be inspected.
Well, that's that's probably why a lot of them were against that at first, like I had mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. They were opposed to all that, and unfortunately, it took this accident in order for things to move along, because the disaster ended up awakening officials' eyes to see the need for improved mine safety.
Yep.
And then finally, at one point, Congress passed a joint resolution in August of 1947, which called on the Bureau of Mines to inspect coal mines and report to state regulatory agencies for any and all violations of the federal code. Sorry. Right.
And this was resolution. What year was this?
This was 1947, August of 1947.
Oh, so you're looking at like 4 months, 5 months past this explosion.
Yeah. And that resolution also invited mining states to tighten and overhaul their mine and safety laws and enforcements for that.
Right.
And I noted that at one point, apparently the most notable one of that example was the Colorado Mine Safety Code of 1951.
Okay.
So from there, that is, I guess you could say,
so the 4 years origin. After?
Yeah. 4 years after. I guess you can say that disaster is probably the origin of what fast forwarded or pushed for more coal mine safety laws.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Because they're not going to want, again, these owners are not going to want to be responsible and you know, for men's dying. First of all, it hurts their bottom line. And then, you know, as time goes on, you know, you get yourself a good lawyer, then you sue these people, and then, you know, before you know it, they're going to lose everything. And they don't want to take that risk. And rightly so, nobody would. But you still, they again, 1940, in August of 47, it's going to take a good 10, 15 years, you know, to get to a point where mining is going to be safe. It's all going to be universal. Mm-hmm. You're still going to have pocketed 3,000 mines. You're not going to get it all on board in a decade. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But because they centralized it as far as states are concerned, every state was in charge of their own. So that did speed it up a little bit,
But
it's still going to take a little bit of time to go forward. And then, of course, technology had to catch up to it. You know, without the technology, I mean, how many, you know, fucking, you know, well, canaries are you going to throw down a coal mine?
Well, it's 1947. If you really truly want to think about it, the technology was there. It just wasn't available to the public yet.
Well,
I mean, we know that. Well, yeah, of course. You have there's many.
The Nazis were very good at technology. I guarantee the Nazis had all this shit.
We brought that up nowhere.
Well, yeah, you're right, but you know what?
No, I had to make that. Point because it's 47. Eventually, we're going to talk about all that crazy shit.
Well, yeah, that's.
But I'm saying that the technology was there. It just wasn't available to public yet. You know how it goes with the military.
Well, if you're talking about the technology from the Nazis, at that point, not even America knew what the Nazis were doing.
Even technology of anything, if it's not profitable.
No, I'm pretty sure they had technology. The military still had technology that was able to detect gases and stuff like that. So
yeah, I mean, there's
it just wasn't available to the public.
I mean, there's technology that the military has today that I guarantee in 10 years time from now will be available to the public as like
prototypes and shit.
Yeah, not even prototypes. Like use this to walk your dog or some shit like that. It'll be something very stupid that we thought was advanced technology 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, there's some shit that we use in everyday life now that the military was using like 15 years ago, like GPS, shit like that. All came from military technology.
Long before that.
You know what I'm saying, though. Yeah. Like, so real quick, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to talk about the connection to Centralia, Pennsylvania.
There's another one.
Are you looking for a vinyl LP or a cassette tape? 45 RPM? If so, you've come to the right place. Golden Spins. We have thousands of titles in stock and ready to ship. Call us at 862-336-2275 or go to our store at discogs.com/seller/goldenspins/profile. We can find whatever you may need. We proudly accept PayPal and every major credit card. And welcome back from our little break. Now, during our break, we had an enlightenment. And we are connecting dots, placing things here and there. So, somehow, some way, we are going to get to it. But Centralia, Illinois is connected to Centralia, Pennsylvania. Dad, give us the background to Centralia, Pennsylvania.
Okay. I don't know about all that. Okay. First of all, allegedly, let's put it that way. We don't know that.
Well, I didn't say the word allegedly. I'm going to get that printed on a t-shirt. Allegedly.
Okay. Now, again, Centralia, it's just odd that Centralia, coal mine, problems, disasters, and there's not just one or two. There's a few of them now, you know, and you know, I'll give you the background of this one. 1962, there was a fire in a dump at the outside of town that caught a coal seam, and it burned viciously under the town for years and years and years. By 1980, it got so bad that the local gas station went to check his temperature under his tanks, and they were 100 degrees above where they should be.
Jesus Christ.
So they actually shut it down right then and there.
Wait, so you're
and then, hold on. Okay. And then the carbon monoxide were actually seeping up into people's basements because it was burning so hot, and it had nowhere to go. And somebody had the bright idea of drilling holes in these seams to find out how far along these seams were burning. Well, that doesn't work because when you add oxygen to fire, it ignites it even more, and then you're dealing with anthracite coal, which is highly flammable. Okay, that's what kept this thing going.
It is cool.
The issue that people are having now in 1980, that the state came in with $43 billion or $1 million to give these people for their homes and give them a couple of thousand dollars each to relocate, and they would take their homes. And in in 2006, I don't know the exact date, but there was a bunch of holdouts, and they took them to court, and they said to them, you know, look, you guys are getting rid of the people. The fires are now out because where the fires were burning, they're not burning there anymore. There's still fires burning, but not anywhere near where it would be dangerous. And they gave what they did was, because the people weren't leaving, they did what they call eminent domain, where it gives the government the right to come
in
give you a certain amount of money and say, you know what, we're now taking your house. But because the people didn't want to leave and were actually getting in the face of these people, what they did was they said, you know what, we're going to take your home, but we're going to let you stay in these homes. We're going to let you stay in the house, but you can't. Once you die, the house goes back to the state. The land goes back to the state. And here's the funny part of the whole situation when it comes to Centralia.
Please tell me.
Okay. Centralia, Pennsylvania was the only town in the state of Pennsylvania that owned its own mineral rights. In other words, they owned what was under the ground. So if they would decide to mine it, that was theirs. It was for the betterment of them. There's other towns that had this. Same thing. They had veins of coal going through everything. No fire. Now, if you want to jump to the conspiracy part of it, which is exactly where I'm going to take it, it just seems odd to me that this town that owned their own thing, they had to find some way to get the people out. So they used eminent domain, took the land, and then took the coal rights. Now, coal has diminished in value over the years since 1980 when this first happened. But nonetheless, it burned for a certain amount of time. It burned for what? 62 to 80 before they really had to get the people out. So you're talking about 18 years at that point.
That's a whole kid.
Okay. So, but then when the fire's out and the coal doesn't mean that much, well, then you could stay here now. It just seems a little odd to me. And if anybody listening to this can tell me I'm wrong, that's fine.
Yeah, aren't the fires still burning, though?
The fires are, okay. There's several seams of coal that run. They run from, you know, from just below the surface to a little deeper to a little deeper. The deepest part, the deepest ones are not on fire. Okay, that's where the coal still sits in those deep veins. But now, all of a sudden, they have the Black Diamond Coal Mining Company comes in there, which now seems to be connected to other coal mining operations, at least from what I'm seeing, a dozen to two dozen.
Allegedly.
Okay, no, these aren't legends. This is true. They are connected.
Truth, Mr. West.
Okay.
Truth.
And basically, it's they're involved with the Centralia Coal Sales Company, which has coal. Let me see. They have coal mines. You know, you got the Black Diamond Mining Company. You got the Sherman Coal. You got the Rossi Coal. To South Tamaqua, another part of Pennsylvania. Now, you can do your homework on every one of these, but they're all connected. Now, why did Black Diamond get the rights to the Centralia coal? And why didn't the people of Centralia who owned it, they got nothing? The state sold it to Black Diamond. Black Diamond's making money and the state made money.
Who owns Black Diamond?
It just seemed that Black Diamond is owned by the Centralia Coal Sales Company.
And who owns them? Because if I believe,
well,
if
that's
you
something
sit there,
you got to dig deeper in
if
that.
If you dig deeper into the Centralia coal mining, whatever, if you dig deeper into that and you find who owns that and who he's connected to, then you got your fucking answers.
Well, again, you got to prove it. You know, you're going to have to
allegedly.
Prove it. This is, you know, this could go either way. This could be exactly how they say it is. You know, if it started in a dumpster, we know the fire did start in that part of town. We know it spread.
It's just funny to me it starts in a dumpster.
But it's just odd that it all came down to the only town in Pennsylvania that owned their own mineral rights.
And it's just
and
funny.
And took it from them.
It's funny to me, though, that if you look at, okay, so the name of the company is Centralia Coal whatever Sales, right?
Coal Sales Company.
So you have that. The name of the town is Centralia. And basically all the towns that have had mining mishaps, I guess you would call it, somehow, somewhere close to Centralia. Centralia, Mississippi, not Mississippi, Illinois, Centralia, Pennsylvania. And the third one we figured out was what? Centralia, Washington?
There was some.
Yes.
Yeah, Washington State. Yeah. Sorry.
Who knew that there would be so many Centralias? Like,
and they
all have a coal mining something.
Yeah, it's very odd that, you know,
I understand we are reaching here. And it's not so much reaching as it is of I guess, a coincidence.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't really say reach when the one main thing is the one word. And it's kind of like, okay, can we look up what that is? But it's fact that every single town is called Centralia.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania, the Washington State, and then, you know, Illinois. Is it something with the name, or is it just, like, the bad luck of coal mining?
Oh, you found something interesting, right?
Apparently, we can say that there's a Centralia mine that is one of three that is owned by Transatlanta, which is a company that owns several surface coal mines. The one specifically I see with details on is in Washington State, and the coal mine is located about 10 kilometers or 6 miles northeast of the city of Centralia, like I said, in Washington State.
That's very, very interesting.
And apparently for this one, these are later dates compared to the ones we were talking about for Pennsylvania. And Illinois, their commercial operation began in 1971, and they were purchased by Transatlanta in May 2000. So they started having plant generations and stuff like that in November 2006. Up until 2006, and then they stopped active mining after that, though. At least for this one portion.
We'll be back after a quick break. I'm Howard Dory.
And I'm Jess Dory.
And we host Plotting Through the Presidents. We take deeply researched, deeply irreverent dives into the myths, mysteries, and scandals of the men and women who shaped America.
Join us as we dive deep into topics like
the undeniable riz of Aaron Burr.
The what now?
And the odd feeding habits of everyone's favorite founder,
John Adams.
Subscribe and follow Plotting Through the Presidents now to plot along with us.
Find out more at plodpod.com.
Interesting. That's very interesting because there's so many connections between all these little things, and then to have, like I said, your little divots of detail, and then trying to pinpoint like what the hell, like did any of these other towns, did the government come in and take the property from those townspeople also? If we know that, can we search that up in Illinois or Washington?
Well, all the other ones seems like they're just companies that are owned or doing the coal mining, from what I saw.
One explosion, boom, and then, you know, a horrible accident, and
yeah,
that's it. But, like, I don't think any other fire is still, like, continuing on.
Well, yeah, but my question is, if, especially for Pennsylvania, if the government came in and said, we own the land now, you know, and we are giving it to Black Diamond, what would be the point? Like, are they waiting for the fires to burn out and then go dig for more coal?
They can't, because
what they're waiting for, though? That's what I'm saying.
Because if they wait,
they still can't wait.
From my understanding of it is that because it's still burning, and like how Dad said, was if they open that up more, they're just gonna add more air to it and just keep it going. So eventually, like that coal, I'm guessing, is burning through the other layers, and then it's just going to ignite that, and then it's just going to keep on going and going until all that coal is just done.
So it's
going
to be useless.
Yeah, it's going to be a chain reaction.
Completely useless.
Yeah, so what would be the point of the government sitting here and holding that land then?
Because at the time, we're talking 19...
Well, it makes sense, not to cut you off, it makes sense thinking long term, because if... Let's hypothetically say that, like, this... like, everything goes great for the next 500 years, you know, world still, you know, moving forward, America's America, everything is still going great. And then in 500 years or 250 years plus from now, after all that is done, that's a lot of land that you can still build on and just, you know, expand.
Yeah,
grow the state. You know, obviously it's thinking way long term, but, you know.
Well, I mean, I guess, but for coal, though, I don't think in coal.
All right, I'm going to read you something. I want you
to hear. Like for houses and stuff, you know?
Okay, hang on a second.
Go on, Dad.
Let me see here. All right. Several current and former Centralia residents, this is Pennsylvania now, believes the state's eminent domain claim was a plot to gain the mineral rights, excuse me, to the anthracite coal beneath the borough. Residents have asserted its value to be hundreds of millions of dollars, although the exact amount of coal is not known. This theory is based on the municipality laws of the state. And here's where it gets tricky. According to state law, when a municipality can no longer form a functioning municipal government, i.e. when there is no longer any residents, the borough legally ceases to exist. At that point, the mineral rights, which are owned by the borough of Centralia, they are not privately held. Now, that gets really crazy. Okay. Would revert to the ownership of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, which they can do whatever they want with that coal. And that's where Black Diamond...
But that doesn't make any sense because the coal's useless.
It's not useless. See, what you're missing here. Not all the coal is burning.
But how do they get it if it's still burning now?
They're going to dig for it. They're mining now.
Yeah, they're going to wait it out. Hopefully it's diminished. Hopefully the flames are diminished enough to the point where it won't spread to anything else. Because you got to think, once it burns, it's going to have leftover residues, but hopefully it won't reignite.
Right.
So it's kind of like when you light a candle. And you know how some candles have the burning wick or whatever, and although it burns and it goes down, they still have remaining you know, the rope or whatever it is that they're using.
And I think it's exactly what you had said, Josh, because what they're doing, where they're digging now, the fire has been long gone.
Yeah.
The fire's been out of there. It's deemed safe. They're going deeper for this coal. Now, not necessarily in mines. They're digging. They're digging. If you watch the Centralia documentary, they're digging. They're not mining it. They're digging it out. And they're going past the stuff that burned, and they're getting the stuff that's valuable. Again, this all happened from 62 to 80, and then they got everybody out of there, and then everybody's like, wait a minute, you can't do this to us. But the state's very powerful. They can do what they want, and they did.
And the Commonwealth is selling it.
And the Commonwealth then can sell that coal to whoever they want. And what the funny part about the part that gets me is Centralia, again, was the only one that owned their own minerals. They owned everything. So they, to get it to them, you have to declare the town dead, no longer existing. Their zip code is now Ashland, Pennsylvania, which is the next town over, which did burn. And I find it mildly ironic that the name is Ashland. But anyway, that's another story.
Oh, geez.
Okay. And what happened is Ashland, Pennsylvania now assumes, you know,
a story from your past?
No, past, please.
No. Ashland.
Ashland.
Ashland, it's burning.
Oh.
Light bulb dimming.
Brighter. No, I got it.
Cool.
I got it, motherfucker.
Ladies and gentlemen,
so
he's really concerned about his tent city. He's not sure what's going to happen, so leave him to be tonight.
I'm worried
about freaking coal and...
All right, so we're going to take another quick break, and when we get back, we're going to wrap this episode up and kind of separate the two conspiracy theories that we're going on for this episode, because we're all over the place, but we'll get it together, people.
I think.
This is a fun episode.
So we'll be right back.
Hey, how you doing? You like movies? We like movies. You like music? So do we. And books, and video games, and television. We are Multimedia Mafia, and we like to discuss all of those things. And we drop a new episode every single Wednesday. So come check us out, or a couple of guys from Jersey is going to pay you a visit.
And welcome back from our little break. So we have a little bit more to get through for Centralia, and
which one?
Pennsylvania, PA.
Okay.
You have a friend in Pennsylvania. No, the fuck I don't. Actually, I do. I have a couple friends in Pennsylvania.
Shout out to hockey.
No.
You have an aunt and uncle.
I have an aunt and uncle in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Yes, that's why I said yes. Yeah. So, Dad, continue. With obviously we all know Dad is the one that's on point for this.
Yes,
Dad loves talking about Centralia.
Well, I've always enjoyed Centralia. In fact,
he loves to watch things burn.
We will go out there and do one of our videos out there probably by the end of the summer.
That's
hopefully.
The place that Silent Hill was at. No, that
right.
wasn't.
No, anything. No, you're right.
And you know, I've been studying Centralia now for the better part of 2 years, documentaries and. There's also a very good documentary out there. It's called The Town That Was. It was done by a guy.
There's a
and,
few books,
and he
too.
Basically was one of the last people that stayed in there and refused to leave. And he actually took care of, like, he painted the park benches that they had left. And he took care of the cemetery that was there. He got three cemeteries in town. One of them, his parents were buried in there. So he basically took care of that. And I think in 2010, they actually told him he had to leave. And they knocked his house down because they said, we own it now and you got to get out. You know,
leave
the fucking scumbag government that does that. Now, anyway, the scenario that actually led people to question this was, why did they let this fire burn as long as they did? You're talking 18 years of burning, and then they had these odd ways of trying to determine the fire by adding oxygen to the fire. You don't add oxygen to the fire if you're trying to put it out.
Sure.
The first thing they teach you in fire school is, if there's a fire, keep the fucking door shut and the windows closed.
Yes.
Because you don't want to add fuel to the fire. These guys were doing it. The government was doing it, and they weren't answered. They weren't being answered. No one was answering these questions. The people were just going, okay, you know what you're doing. You know, blindless sheep being bled, you know, to the slaughter.
Okay. Use your words.
Shut your mouth. Now,
Well, I mean, it goes.
He told you to. He just
shut the fuck up.
He just sunned the fuck on you on the fucking goes, air. Holy shit!
That goes with basically a lot of conspiracy theories. It's blind. The government leading the blind and the people right. saying, "Okay, yes, yeah, do
well,
whatever
I mean,
you
want
to do."
We can get into another one about how people believe stupid shit. But anyway,
oh yeah,
the government basically they came in.
Government came and took my baby.
There was a lot of. Conspiracies involved in a collaboration with the government agencies with private businesses conspiring to reap the benefits of the anthracite coal that lay below the town. And they wanted, and people were going, why are you doing this? You know, when one company starts conspiring with another, it's going to get around. People are going to know, especially if there's, you know, well, you're not supposed to be on this land, but wait a minute, you can mine this land. Wait a minute, I own that land. No, you don't anymore because we took it from you, but we gave them the rights that they can do it. We're going to get our money, they're going to get their money, and you're going to go to Gistelgatz. In Italian means you're going to get stuck in your ass. Okay? That's basically what happened
That's
here.
That's what that means?
Okay. A lot of things that were done from the federal government, they ran out of money. They were moving people, but they ran out of money. They said they were running low on funds. The town would have to forfeit the rights in order for the coal to be extracted. It was made known that in the decades following the mine fire, various businesses and entrepreneurs, whatever fuck way you want to say that word, offered to dig out the fire in exchange for the coal rights. That's very big when somebody does it because you got private industry now wants to come in and dig. We'll help you out, but we want the coal rights. Okay, so what about the fucking people who did own the coal? You don't have it anymore. I really have a problem when the government gets involved because to me it's always the same thing. The government's going to make their money. Private industry and corporations are going to make their money, but the people who actually foot the bill aren't going to make anything. They'll give them a little pittance, and then they'll say, "Well, we don't have any more money, so we'll give you less." So instead of getting back in 1983, $200,000 for your home, we'll give you $60,000 for it and $5,000 of moving expenses. And people were forced into doing this. You had to do it. If you didn't, they were going to come in and take it anyway. And by 2013, they owned everything. The only thing, curiously, the only thing they didn't take the church. It was on top of the hill because it was nowhere near the fire zone. So there was no reason to take the church, although they did take three other ones in town.
God
now,
damn. Were they Catholic
okay,
churches?
And here's the curious part of the whole thing. They didn't take the municipal building.
Well, isn't that owned by the state anyway?
Again, that left a marker for everybody else to realize that they still have a fire truck. They still have a mayor. They got seven people people that reside in town. That's their way of saying, you know what? We did. We tried to help you. The fire's around now. We tried to help you. They're mining the coal. We're going to walk away from this now. You still have your municipal. So you still have the feeling, the illusion that you are still part of Centralia, Pennsylvania when you have no zip code. Okay? You have no more buildings in town. But you have that one reminder of what was. Think about how heartbreaking that would be to people who grew up in a town where everybody knew each other. 1,500 residents year round. Okay, these people would actually know each other. They would interact with each other. They would have picnics and whatever. You're talking about central Pennsylvania during the 60s, which had to be as bucolic as you can get. And to be, within a matter of 15 or 20 years, you have empty spaces. Your neighbors are no longer your friends. You don't see any neighbors because their buildings are gone. When you walk down, I believe it's called, I'm going to say Main Street. There was another road in town. But buildings everywhere. Now, if you look at it, compare side by side photos of it, you still have the hill, but you don't have no buildings on it. Everything you knew as a kid or as a resident of that town is gone. But that reminder that municipal building is still there for you to look at and go, I do remember that.
It just blows my mind that they still have a mayor. Like, who wants to be a mayor of seven people?
Well, the mayor, basically, these people are the last holdouts. They don't want to leave their town. They don't want to leave their homes. They don't want to be told, no, you can't live here anymore. And the funny thing is, and there's another little caveat to this, there was a family in town that actually went along with the digging and the mining. They never touched them. They still live in their house to this day. They never, I forgot the name of them. They're in that documentary. That family still lives there. And nobody bothers them because they're on the same property that they're digging the coal. So it's not, again, I'm gonna be a little graphic here. It's not who you know, it's who you blow. And that's exactly what happened here in this fucking town. And before you get to any questions, whatever, I'm going to tell you my opinion is this has been a shit show from the beginning. Now, I'm not saying they started it on purpose, but soon as it was started, the wheels were in motion. I had to get this call from these people.
Wheels on the bus go around there.
Man. And hurt them. And they did hurt them. And they hurt them really fucking bad. And to the people of Centralia, I know you're probably not listening, but if you are listening, my heart goes out to you guys. You guys went through some shit that no one should have went through, and it's mind-boggling to have our country come in, or our municipality come in, a state come in to take everything from you. My heart goes out to you guys. It really it pisses me off to watch this, and hopefully, I know now they're trying to get some seed money in to start the town again. They want to try to get the town back going again, as little at a time, you know, whatever.
Let's do that. Let's start helping Centralia, Pennsylvania on our podcast. Let's help them. I don't know how we're going to help them, but maybe get the word out, and maybe some people can help.
I would love to see it. I can't wait to go out there and visit.
I think they still have, like, tourist things.
They do. Well, they don't. What they is, it's the number one tourist attraction in Pennsylvania for all the wrong reasons. In other words, you go there and there's nothing there. There's literally nothing. You have streets, Locust Hill, Locust Road. That's Locust Avenue. That was the main road in Centralia. And it's still there. The roads are all there. Highway 61 that went through town now had to be rerouted because of all the people coming in and doing all the graffiti along the road. And it was also the most damaged road because of the fire. Yeah, I mean, there's video. You can walk by it and you see the smoke coming out. But that's no longer the case. But because it was so heavily damaged, they rerouted it around town.
All right.
If I gotta go anymore, I'm not gonna sleep tonight because I'm really pissed.
Calm down.
Let's
bring it down a notch.
You want some Tremont?
Yes. Let's get to our questions here and all roundabout. We have two questions here actually because we do have a couple, conspiracies that we went through in this episode. So we'll start with you, Dad. We'll start with the first question. Do you believe that there is a connection between all these Centralia towns and what happened in these coal mines? Besides the actual Centralia coal company itself, do you believe there's something weird happening?
I'd have to see more evidence. I mean, Josh brought up the TransAlta plant company, yeah. You know, and again, I'm going to do my research on that as far as digging deeper and who owns it and if there is any connection. As far as a connection, the only thing I can see with lack of really, really hard evidence that I don't have on hand, not saying it's not there, I do believe that the only connection they have right now is the name Centralia. I mean, that's as of right now. And I'm not saying, I don't know. Like, it's like before this show started, I'm on Centralia, Pennsylvania, and Joshua brought up Centralia, Illinois. And so it's kind of getting hit blindsidedly, but yeah. With the stuff you were bringing up about TransAlta, I will look into that. Yeah. I will do my homework on that.
They were going to flash it up their buttholes.
That right there, the only thing I can say is the only thing that brings that ties it all together is the name Centralia. Yeah. But that's all. That's from my.
Mr. West, from all the information you absorbed tonight.
I will be on the fence for everything right now.
Okay. I'm not even going to ask you a question then. Josh?
I think it's really weird. I can't say it's a coincidence. I mean, for me, it was weird because, like I said, there was a little mishap with us. Punching Centralia and a whole bunch of things pop up, at least three of them right off the bat.
Can you stop?
It's the Centralia winds blowing through.
Oh, no, it's not.
Three of them came off all the bat. Like I said, I was in, for some reason, I was in the mindset, the one for Illinois, that was a disaster by itself.
Yeah.
And that set in motion, you know, codes.
A lot of shit.
Yeah, everything. It's really weird, but.
Simple.
I mean, it could just be a coincidence that all of them are called Centralia, but.
The parent company being named Centralia.
Yeah, and I would just have to ask the question, why? But I don't really think, other than the name, there's no connection.
All right. I think because, again, I guess because of the company itself, and I guess that's the only thread of connection besides the name that can you can connect it. I mean, I think it's a
loose... Coal fires.
It's not a loose connection. It's there's something there. But I get you're right. The name itself is the biggest, weirdest connection because who the fuck, besides, you know, growing up and having, you know, dad here talk about Centralia so many fucking times, I always thought it was just like Centralia, Pennsylvania, Centralia, Pennsylvania. I didn't know there was an Illinois, a fucking Washington. Who knows? It could be a Texas.
That's why it's so interesting, our show. You know, Joshua brought this to the table, and it's going to open up another world.
Yeah.
Because I will do my homework on this. You know that. And it's going to be very interesting. And I appreciate the fact that you brought this to the table. And it may have been a quirky thing that, you know, it was a mishap, say, but it really wasn't. It was actually a step in the right direction for our show, I think. You know, and kudos to you, Josh, for doing that. Thank you.
So our second question then is, we'll again start with you, Dad. Do you believe that the government took the land from the Centralia citizens for their own benefit or to actually protect the people from that
farm? No, I believe that it was an excuse to take their land. I mean, yeah, there was some danger there. There's no question. But it's the way they handled it. They made the dangerous. They made the dangerous situation even worse by the curious way they were taking care of things, by the way they were trying to put the fire out by drilling holes. You know, if it was some danger, the kid fell in a sinkhole, 300-foot sinkhole.
I remember.
And they grabbed him before he fell in, or he would have been a goner. Yeah, again, there was the gas station with 100 degrees above normal temperature. I do agree there was some danger, but it could have been handled a lot differently. I mean, again, we put people on the friggin' moon. We could have fixed it. But I do believe that I'm not going to sit here and say, because I don't have evidence, that somebody started the fire on purpose. But it would make really, really good sense that they did, because basically what happened here was once that fire started, the wheels were in motion to take this, you know, into the only possible place that they did not own it. And they found a way to own it, to make their money. So in short, yes, I do believe the government came in and worked their magic here and took the people's land for their own gain, which right now it bears it. The evidence is out there. You know, who's making the money? Follow the money.
Mr. West, are you still on the fence?
Fence.
Gotcha. Roblox.
And you call me a man a few words. Jesus.
Well, see, he can talk, but he's on a different plane right now.
Oh, that's obvious. Anyway.
Again, as Anthony says, he is higher than pigeon pussy.
Oh, give me not. Anyway.
At a time to the desk a few times, he was floating over the desk.
Yeah.
We float down here.
I believe to a degree they did protect the people, but you're also talking to a man who doesn't trust the government as far as he can throw them. So I'm definitely going to say they did it for their own gain.
So he doesn't trust the government. He doesn't trust religion. Who do you trust?
His nails.
Other than the people.
The man in the mirror.
Other than the people in this building, and like Dad just said, the man in the mirror, no one.
I totally agree. Boy, Josh and I are like twins tonight. I totally agree with him. I don't trust any. How do you know the government's lying? Their lips are moving. That's how you know they're lying.
For me, I, with all the evidence that we brought up here tonight, I do believe that it was, again, for the personal gain, because that's what the government does. They never come in and help just for helping. That's not how our government works.
No.
It's always never has, never will.
Motive.
Yeah, there is always an ulterior motive. And I think that will close out our episode tonight, gentlemen. I think that was, you know, with this season, with, you know, doing the creatures as we do, I think this was a good break for us, especially an important topic that, at least to Dad, I mean, now it's important to us.
I waited for this one for a while, and I really enjoyed it.
Roblox brightened our eyes to other possibilities.
Great really Roblox son.
The great Roblox son.
Yes, Roblox son. You get a free mug.
I'm wise for a reason.
Another mug.
All right. So Good night, gentlemen, and good night, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Oh, yeah, it's me.
I just want to let everybody know we are over 1,800 downloads right now. Let's push it over 2,000. Let's keep it coming.
Yeah, and
visit our Etsy store.
Yeah, thank you.
Visit our Etsy store. We have cups. We
mugs.
Have
they are mugs.
Okay, they're mugs. We have hats. We have we're gonna be getting shirts up there soon, right,
yeah,
Dad?
Shirts will be within a month's time. Yeah.
We have chains. We have.
Mouse pads.
We have a
you
whole.
You never took your mouse pad.
It's right here.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
We'll
sit here. I'm like, what the fuck?
We'll have pens.
We're gonna
have
hoodies.
Lighters.
We are doing pens.
Yeah. We're gonna have stickers.
We have stickers. And here's the deal, guys.
We'll have whales.
No, calm down.
If you get on cloud 50.
Is this real whales?
I'm gonna shut his mic off now.
Yeah, please.
We can't hear him.
Yeah, but I can.
Just killed
if
that.
You anybody wants to contact us, we'll give you a little pack of stickers. You know, free charge. We'll send them to you with a little envelope.
Sticker. One sticker. Whatever.
Calm yourself down. They're fucking stickers, all right? Let them have the stickers and put them all over the place. Put them on your notebooks. Put them on your forehead. I don't give a shit what you're doing with them. Show that you really enjoy our show.
Put it on your dildo.
What? We could have Israel right. Dildos.
He stays okay. Muted for now, please.
All right. Yes, please. Could you take us out, please?
Yes. So
before the FCC comes in and closes everything down.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next week. Shut up. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Konnichiwa, bitches. It's Ryu West speaking. If you want to find out more about the Is This Real podcast, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/isthisrealpc or on Twitter at isthisrealpc or on Instagram at isthisrealpodcast, all one word.